Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm Josh, joined today by Ben Roy Turner.
Hello there.
And Ash Millman.
Hello!
Because Ben Roy was actually talking this morning about how he's just platinumed Death Stranding after how many hours, Ben Roy?
107.
Disgusting.
Which is, you know, quite frankly, disgusting and abhorrent. But it got us thinking about the idea of achievements and trophies in general, because it's hard to imagine, but once over, these things didn't exist, and you had to make your own fun, which to me sounds really horrible. And I've kind of forgotten time where these little things weren't attached to video games. So we're just kind of going to talk about it, how they influence the way we play games, whether or not they're actually worth, you know, spending so much time getting, and which ones are we actually quite proud of. But I don't know where you guys like stand in them as a whole, because when I was playing the Xbox 360 and all the games attached to that, my gamer score was something I took quite a lot of pride in. I didn't, you know, play games purely for the gamer score, but when I got to the end of that generation, I looked back at all the games I played, it was like a nice little time capsule of the things I'd done and the things I had, you know, well, essentially the things I'd accomplished. And I felt a little bit worried, genuinely worried. This was what I was scared about 10 years ago, 7 years ago, whatever. It was swapping from gamerscore to trophies because I'd be starting from scratch. Yeah. And I was just thinking about the idea of leaving all this behind, and it genuinely stressed me out.
That was me this year, like, well, last year with the PlayStation Xbox conundrum. I was like, oh my God, I've got to commit to another console. What am I going to do with my gamerscore? But I quite liked it. It's nice seeing the different like nuances between the two, and it doesn't really matter is what I learned, is that you can still get like, don't roll your eyes at me, Ben Roy.
No, sorry, I'm just blinking. I'm not actually doing that.
I thought you were fully like, it matters.
No.
It absolutely matters.
I'm just in sleeping mode.
But no, I kind of just got over it. I was like, okay, cool. I can have like trophies on here and achievements on here, and they're both lovely. My favorite thing at the moment that I'm absolutely like hooked on is the rewards thing for Xbox, like Game Pass rewards. I love that. That's like a new like high for trophies and all that sort of thing.
Phil Spencer's rewards.
What are the Game Pass rewards? I didn't even know this was a thing.
You get points, and then you can like save up your points. Like, you have to have a ridiculous number of points, but you can spend them on things afterwards. So like, if you do enough challenges and stuff that it sets you, daily challenges, weekly challenges, monthly challenges, lots of them are just sign into the app, sign in and do this, or like it'll have super hard to like do a certain number of headshots sort of thing. Or do a number of car heists in Grand Theft Auto, and then you get like just point rewards that all add up to stuff that you can spend later, or you can use them to enter competitions and stuff as well.
What I really like about that is because when achievements first came out, we're always like, oh, they're gonna go towards something, they're gonna be worth something, and they never really did. So yeah. It feels like after all this time, finally Phil Spencer's come around and saved us from that. But I haven't actually indulged in any of it yet, because when did it actually start rolling around again?
I have no idea. I turned my Xbox on. I was like, what's this? I haven't updated this in a while. and they popped up. But it's recently-ish, maybe end of last year.
Yeah, because I've just been... The only time I turn my Xbox on now is for a Gears hole, and then I jump back out of it again.
Of course. I mean, about, I want to say 10 years ago, they had the reward system up and running, but it wasn't attached to, you know, the games in that way. And I remember jumping in, thinking it would be a cool idea to be rewarded for my investment, but then it never amounted to much. It was sort of like a points card from, you know, a high street store like HMV, where you can keep collecting them, but at some point I just kept thinking, what are these for? What are these competitions I'm entering? Do they just have have a control of my life and I don't really know about it.
Like you, Brown, I think a lot of us went through the awkward breakup of the 360 as we all jumped to PS4 and was like, I've just spent loads of time here and are these really, have I just wasted my life? But what I really like about trophies and achievements is they're sort of like a time capsule. They're a time stamp of when you did the thing.
Yeah.
And you can always get back and go, did I do the thing? But they're also a good way now to find out people's bull crap, I won't swear on this podcast, of if they said they've done something or not, because now you can go back and fact check that stuff.
I know you do that. Ben Roy has this weird thing where he will stalk your PSN profile or Xbox profile to see what you're playing or how long you've been playing it and what trophies you've got.
Just have a look, see what everyone's doing. Just
I've done that to you both of yours before when I've been bored. I've been what's going on here?
Do the rounds, just have a look, see what's going on.
Well, because I'm incredibly narcissistic, I mostly just do it to myself. Like you said, Ben Roy, I go through my own trophies and sort of remind myself about the good times that were had. Especially towards the end, like you said, of the Xbox 360 era. It was a nice little time capsule because you have memories associated with them for better or worse. And it is a sort of... I'm someone who lives their entire life through lists. It's partly the reason I've got this job. I like to compartmentalize everything so I have a clear, you know, view of what I've been doing and what I've enjoyed and what I haven't. And trophies help me gauge that in gaming form.
With me, I never really... I did like achievements, but they never really hooked me like, say, trophies have. There was like Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 and Gears. I almost got all of them on Gears 2. I almost did that stupid, seriously, 2.0 achievement, which is just... Do you want to play the same level over and over again and just mindlessly shoot things for hours? No. But with trophies, they kind of got the hooks in me because I think I like the idea of a platinum.
Yes.
Because the annoying thing about, first world problem. The annoying thing about a game when it gets more content is then the number isn't full anymore. Especially a lot of the games on Xbox, the number goes away. But thank God that on PlayStation they segment them off and you can just still have that lovely little platinum there, just sitting there.
Well, Ben Roy, I was thrown off because I was checking which platinums I actually got before I started researching this podcast. And a lot of them do the same thing where you have the little, obviously you have the little logo for the platinum trophy, but it only says 77% completed. And I'm like, guys, I put all this time into finishing Marvel Spider-Man. Just help me bluff the fact that I've done everything in this game.
I don't have everything done in Days Gone anymore and I'm not going back to that game ever again.
I think you make a really good point there, though, the introduction of the platinum trophy, because I never used to like the concept of trophies. I thought they were quite lame in comparison to the actual numerical value of a gamer score point.
Actual trophy?
To a real life trophy in front of the shelf.
But hey, I bought one of those platinum glass trophy things and I drink out of it every few weeks, you know, just to be like...
Every few weeks? You are every day.
The biggest nerd I know.
As I was platinum Death Stranding last night, I had a little bit of orange juice out of that, like, yeah, I've won.
Amazing.
I'm so lonely.
I like this, to be honest. I'm looking at you very disdainfully, but I think it's quite cool.
But actually, that changed the way you approached these things, like the idea of getting a platinum. Because when I get a platinum in a game, it's often just to show that I love it. I want to get the most out of it. I want to squeeze it for all of its worth. And to me, that's a nice little way to put a bow on the experience. Once I've gotten that, I can finally give it up and move on to something else.
I had a very much like, if I want to play a game, I'll play it. I'll play the bits that I like, and that's it. And I don't really care about it. Experience with games for a long time, and then seeing the joy of platinums, I was like, oh god, I need these. But I'm very much in the camp that you should play what you want to play, and then trophy farming is fine and fun and a good part of gaming, but like, don't make yourself hate it for the sake of the trophy. That's the thing that gets me.
That's a great point, right? Because I've done this before with games that I love, where I've striven to get the platinum trophy, and then in the process of doing that found myself hating every single second of it, because a lot of the time, like, developers just don't think about what trophies they're going to put in there. They just see them as arbitrary things, arbitrary number crunches, and that can just ruin the experience when you're wanting to play the game, but you find yourself just not getting the most out of it. You're just getting headshots, or you're playing through the same levels to get, you know, an amount of kills. We talked about on the last podcast we did, where I was on about cheating to get that Uncharted trophy, where I was skipped the entire game so I could get, you know, the complete this game within 6 hour trophy. And that's just kind of, what am I getting from that, Ben Roy?
I don't know. Same thing when I murdered my friend in Left 4 Dead and got the complete everything on super hard, and he was there being eaten by zombies. You know, I wanted the achievement and he's dead now.
Does it turn you into a worse person?
Absolutely.
Yes. The Battlefront 2016 Platinum was one that really sort of grinded my gears, because you had to play the crappy, like, single player challenge mode against bots, and obviously you crank it up to full difficulty, and they can snipe you across the map, and they're savage. And playing that was one of the more struggling platinums I've ever had. The ones where I'm like, oh, I bet someone I can do this, and now I've got to do it. There was also another one in there where you had to, because there were only a few like hero ships in that one, so you had to kill off a Melian Falcon and a slave one. And as soon as one of them spawned on the map, it was everyone jumped on that thing to try and get the trophy.
Yeah.
So I remember when that just randomly popped, that reignited me into like, oh, I can do this. I've got one of the hardest ones accidentally. I'm going to do this now.
That is a satisfying moment where you do accidentally pop one of those. And then it's suddenly the road to the platinum is in sight. And you think, hang on, it might take me 6 hours. It might take me 10 hours. It might take me 20 more hours, but I can do this. If I just put in the time, I can do this. I think it's interesting that for me, the rise of achievements kind of came with the rise of persistent multiplayer, the idea that in Call of Duty, for instance, when you rank up, you're not no longer just playing matches for the fun of it. You're playing matches to level up your character. You're playing matches to unlock weapons. And for me, a part of gaming has almost become, kind of gatekept by those systems. When I play a game, if there's not a tangible reward or a tangible pop attached to it, I won't look for certain things. I won't do certain things. Back when I used to play games when I was younger, I would just explore for the fun of it. I would try and experiment for the fun of it. But now if there isn't a tangible reward or something to say I've done it, it's sort of like social media, isn't it? I don't like going to restaurants unless I can prove that I've been there and take a picture of the pizza.
It's kind of come around with like the end of anonymity on the internet. Like people start to get more profiles and be like, oh, well, now I don't just finish my PS2 and throw it in the cupboard. Now I've got this sort of profile thing that's now been with me for too many years now. You look back like, oh, how old was I when I started playing this game? But it's weird how you look back at, well, I've got that now and I see that number. It's so close. Should I do it? Should I go back? Should I go back to The Last of Us because it's my favorite game and I just want to get the platinum? Yes, I should.
Love The Last of Us, but I have barely any of the trophies because I just
played
the
rubbish.
Game. I just played the game.
Yeah.
But no, the one of the most frustrating things that I have found in the impassioned hunt for trophies is doing things that you think will get you a trophy and them not coming up. So like, not so much not doing it because then there's not a pop attached, but doing something stupid because you think, oh, that should get me a trophy. Like, jumping off something or like shooting a bunch of things or doing
finishing a level.
Yeah, like, you know what I mean? But just doing dumb stuff in there. I can't think of a specific example. Like, I started playing A Way Out again the other day.
Okay.
And I keep touching everything and interacting with everything. So I'm like, where is my trophy for talking to every single person, for touching every single thing? Is there a trophy for this? Is there a trophy for this? Or like do a little cutscene. I'm like, where's my trophy?
I think that's absolutely spot on. Like, it sort of changes the way you approach games because especially for us who, you know, talk about games as a job, we know how games are made. We know, I think even everyone knows how trophies are structured. So yeah, you are looking for things like that in games that you think will pop you a trophy later on down the line. For me, it's always finding unique, potentially destructible objects in a level. I think in Uncharted 4, you have a bunch of like rock sculpture things that you can knock over. And as soon as I knocked the first one down, I thought, right, that is... No one's drawn attention to that, but the fact I could do that must mean there's a trophy towards the end of the game. Sorry for going very high there.
Sorry. For me, one of the most enjoying platinums was probably Until Dawn, because you want to see how everything ends, but you never, like, I would never have gone back and actually done, like, kill everyone, save everyone, go down a different path. And yeah, just did Until Dawn. And because it was coming to free on PS Plus, I was like, well, I need to get this before everyone else starts getting it, just so I can say I did it.
Yeah.
But no, it was quite a challenge. Like, it added more of a risk when you're getting towards the end. And I forget the woman's name, the blonde one, who normally always dies really quickly, but they keep trying to kill her off so much towards the end of the game. You're just really like trying hard. Like, no, like actually turning my PS4 off just to kill
stop.
The...
Just you can't get her.
Yeah, to kill the save and go back and make sure I don't do it wrong.
Well, that's a good point. Ash, has a game's sort of, you know, trophy setup or platinum trophy ever made you enjoy a game more or appreciate it a little bit more?
No. No, I like I say, it's playing a game, and then the trophies are kind of like a bonus for me. And then I usually play a game and then look at it and go, oh, what could I have done to get these trophies? Or am I bothered about going back and doing that? Do I want to try this, that, or the other? I think they're really good for replayability. If I finish a game and like it so much I want to play it again, which isn't often, but it does happen occasionally. If I like it so much that I want to go back and actually play it again, then I'll want to do the trophies because it's a nice little way of making sure you've experienced everything. So I guess in that way, that like not on the first playthrough, but definitely on a second, you can be like, okay, what can I pick up here? What can I pick up here? Is this good? Is this good? That sort of thing.
Because you've got a few good ones. Like, I would say good ones, like challenging ones of God of War and like Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, there's some time sunk into them ones.
There are, but those are definitely ones that I did after I played the game. I did, like, you get all the trophies for doing your chapters, and then at the end it's like, oh, go and find all this, go and do all this, go and kill all these, go and look at this. And that is much more appealing to me than having something that you have to play over and over and over again. And if you miss it, you've missed it forever.
Yeah, it's like those where it's kind of, like you said, it's extraneous to the core experience, and you can just jump in the open world or whatever and get more out of the game in a way that you might not have otherwise, and just do these challenges. And yeah, they might be a little grindy or a little time consuming, but I think it's some worlds I find, like God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, or Marvel Spider-Man, you don't want to leave them when the story's done. Yeah. You want to linger around for a little bit. And I think those kinds of platinums, those kinds of trophies, those kinds of achievements are a good way to encourage that.
That was Death Stranding for me. Like, I need to take a bit of a break because, like, it's just so emotionally powerful, man. But, and also Jedi Fallen Order came out like 5 minutes after that game. God's sake. But yeah, Death Stranding, I just wanted to go back and reconnect America. I just wanted to go back and build those roads. Wanted to go back and build the zip lines, deliver some stuff. Just keep going.
Well, you've actually, we've been talking about Death Stranding a lot, obviously, because I can't get it off my mind. But you've made me want to go back and do that, because when I was finished with the game, I just thought I was done with it. It was the same with Metal Gear Solid 5. For some reason, Kojima's recent titles have got their grips in me, but only for about a week of intense gaming sessions, bruh. But yeah, then I'm done with it forever, essentially. And I want to go back into Death Stranding because it has such a lush world, and there's so many of the people that I haven't gotten connected with, like Sam Lake. I don't think I've found him, or if I have, I definitely haven't connected him to the chiral network. But I don't know whether that's going to be an experience that's worth it, because then am I doing it because I love the gameplay and the mechanics, or is it just to tick a trophy box?
For me, it was like what you're doing with Red Dead Redemption 2, where you're going back through it. It almost felt like I was going back through the entire game again, because I another 50 hours just to get this platinum, just by playing through and podcast on or an audiobook, and just, you know, Just driving down the chiral network, just, you know, one arm in front, you know, BB in the other arm, just chilling.
Well, like, you're doing the impression.
Yeah, no one else can see me there as I just sort of slide down.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
But another one, it's like, they sometimes they're in a weird, like, nerdy way, they're pride, like Bloodborne. I don't know how I did the Bloodborne one, apart from, you know, getting the other endings by redoing my save. But stuff like that, you look at it, you go, oh, yeah, I did that. I did a Soulsborne game. I don't need to play things like Sekiro.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when trophies and achievements were at their peak and people were buying things like Terminator Salvations just to grind out easy trophies. Oi. There was the...
Terminator Resistance. That's a decent platinum.
That's fine. Salvation, at least Resistance sounded like a decent game, Ben Roy. No one is out there defending Terminator Salvation from 10 years ago or something. Actually, Ash, it's ass, so. But yeah, like there was the big sort of backlash of, well, these are meaningless. These don't mean anything. They're not real trophies. And obviously, they're not real trophies, but there is some pride you can take into it. Like, if you complete a Soulsborne game to its max and you get all those trophies, there is a sense of accomplishment that comes with that. And that can, admittedly, be weaponized by some publishers, but I do think it's something that you shouldn't overlook.
I wish Sony went full hog with PlayStation Home and actually fully did the trophy room that you were going to be able to walk around and see all your trophies and sort of thing. But sadly, rest in peace, PlayStation Home's dead. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the Platinum Trophy just reaches over the full gamer score, because if it's just that little icon that you can see there and you can easily go back and go, okay, I've done that. Yeah. Just got that sort of thing.
But what is the, like, what is the attraction to it? Because it's satisfying. It's so satisfying, and having it. Is it just the pride of having something that everyone else doesn't have? Or is it achievement? Is it, what is it that's what makes you look at someone's profile and go, wow, 945 platinum trophies. Oh my God. Here is my respect and admiration. Or nerd. Big nerd, you.
Big nerd. Oh, big nerd.
The reason why I like to be the big nerd, but I only like to have, say, like 20 instead of like some guy's got 1,200, is because I like to take the games that I truly love, like Terminator Resistance. No, but that just came easily. But games like Death Stranding, I'm going to go back to Last of Us and just show people that this game, I like this game, and I went back and did everything.
Yeah.
Because I like to just, as you said, absorb and take all the content out of it.
Well, at that point, because you play so many games, but if you only have a handful of platinum trophies, then perhaps in a strange way they might mean more, because like you said, they're so personal in that sense. They're like a time capsule. There's something you can actually take pride in. It's not just another number. But then, Ash, I do think you're onto a good point there when you're sort of asking like what the tangible sort of effects of them are. I think it's just like I was saying earlier, any kind of social media or any kind of persistent multiplayer unlocks, it just gives you some kind of purpose. It helps like distill the experience into something tangible that you can see. And part of me doesn't like that, because I do lose the drive for experimentation that I had when I was younger. Like, I don't do that anymore. And it's almost directly because of these leveling systems and because of, you know, trophies and stuff. And that kind of sucks. And I'm really conflicted on this.
They harken back to like leaderboards, because back in the PS1 era, no one knew you was playing all these Rugrat games and like South Park spin-offs and everything like that. Simpsons Wrestling. Now they're all there forever, burnt in your list. And for me, it's like, we don't play games for score, but then they're a way of bringing back that sort of like rudimentary sort of like, you know, it's their sort of thing, some sort of tangible list.
I don't know. I definitely think, like, I ask it as an open question, because I think it's definitely a little bit of pride for me. If it's something hard, then I'm like, oh, look at my trophy, baby. Because I'll come in and be like, I've just got a platinum. I've just got one little platinum. Would you like to hear about it? Because I have so few that I'm always so like gassed when I do get them. It's like a little reward. It's a little treat. It's like, it's something from the publishers going, thank you for playing our game. Here is your little sticker. Gold star.
I think it works though. Because I mean, I was
going to the dentist, getting stickers. It's the same thing.
A lollipop.
Nice. The lollipop. I was blown away when you said you got God of War's platinum, because I tried to get that and got stuck in the final Valkyrie. So then to know that someone else has done it and beaten that, I'm kind of like, wow. I couldn't do that. I didn't have the strive for it. I didn't have the skill to do that. So Ash must be the best player around.
I fought one Valkyrie and gave up.
Exactly. Well,
This pod is just me being great. That's what it is. So.
Well, speaking of the games that we have platinumed, I kind of want to go through some of the ones that were the most notable ones that we've got, the ones that we take the most pride in, because some of mine I really am proud of, and some of them I look on and think, what was I thinking? That was a shameful time. Josh, why did you spend 9 hours in your underpants one day with a bunch of crisp packets around you to try and get the Fallout 4 platinum trophy? What were you thinking? So Ben Roy, come on, kick us off.
Shameful or good?
You can take shameful it wherever first. You are.
Let's go shameful, because I want to co-op here with Josh Gunsey's list. The Order 1886.
Oh, okay.
That was one that just happened to be one of those ones that just came about. I was playing through this game It was meant to be the next big thing on PlayStation. Wasn't. A bit trash in places. Had potential. But then I found, oh, wait a minute. If I just burn a few more people with this certain weapon, I'm going to get the platinum without having to really replay this game.
Yeah.
Did that, and there you go. Now it's burning my list forever.
Well, I think that's kind of one of the examples of those games where you kind of, you don't buy them entirely for the trophies, but they certainly help. I bought that way after the fact, years after the fact, when it was very cheap, maybe £5 or £10 or something.
Okay.
And part of the reason I actually bought it for just one weekend was because I knew I could get the platinum, so that was a bonus. It was not only could I play this game, have a nice, decent time, but it's an easy platinum as well. It's not going to take me very long, so I definitely will buy it.
Wow, but we're both shameful in that sense, yeah, then.
I can't believe you guys paid for your points.
Well,
point payers.
Ash, maybe the Order 1886 is actually good.
Is it?
But then also maybe...
It's, you tell me, Platinum Boy.
That's the open question, isn't it? It may be good. It had some good werewolves in it.
Well...
For 1 5-minute stretch.
You tell me without shame, without pulling on your face, that you believe that.
Yeah, I'm so pleased these aren't video recorded anymore, because I'm just ripping my hair out trying to defend the Order 1886.
One I do think I'm pretty proud of, though, like, is Resident Evil 2. Going back and beating Mr. X on the hardest...
The Resi 2 trophies were ridiculous. I remember you and Jules talking about it, and I was like, you are psychopaths.
He did it as well. Like, one run where you had to do, I can't remember the amount of steps, but less than, say, like 14,000 steps, no healing, no using the item box, and stupid things like that. And if you wanted to get the S plus rank, and you could only save it 3 times. So you kind of had to, like, pick the points where you wanted to save. So I was, first of all, doing it before bosses. I was, like, just so stressful going back to it. And Mr. X, just Mr. X on super hard difficulty. He has that one move that instant kills you and just goes, stabs you right in the chest and you're dead. But there were certain points in the game where I knew exactly where to run by the end. There's a bit where he's stabbing through the ceiling. And I knew the exact spot in that room to this day where you can stand and they can never get you.
Nice.
While you're just waiting for this sort of thing. I like the mechanical dissection of a game sometimes when it's like, I played that game for fun. Twice did both the Leon and the Claire thing. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, I just really want to just take that game and just show that game how much I loved it by just getting the platinum trophy.
Yeah, because like by the end of it, when you've done all of that, you sort of have a mastery over the mechanics and how it's actually structurally put together. You know the tricks and you can kind of do it. Yeah, I suppose it is. And like my, you know, I love that Ash has the God of War platinum. I love that you've got that platinum because I took one look at that set of trophies and just knew that I was never going to get it. I was so bummed out because I was loving the game and I checked to see what I would have to do. And I just thought, there's no chance in hell I'm ever going to get to do this.
You've got
to
plan your life around that sort of trophy list.
You do, don't you? You really do. Ash, what's your most proudest or most shameful?
Oops, sorry.
Benroy just broke the entire set.
Jeez, I have three like full completed game trophies. So I can tell you all the more right now.
Go on then.
Which is, I don't know why I don't have more. I probably do, but the ones that I remember and that I'm proud of are there is one is Overcooked because I was great at Overcooked. No shame in that. And then I played that on my own as well. I played that all the way through on my own. And I got the full little star for it. That was on Xbox, though, doesn't actually count as a platinum trophy. And then God of War and Horizon Zero Dawn.
What do you have to do to get the Overcooked platinum?
I think it's just get your 3 stars in all the levels. Like, I don't think it's super hard. I think it's just get all the 3 stars in all the levels, including the last one. There might be some other stuff, but that's sort of just what I remember doing. Maybe there's like wash up a certain amount of plates. I know in Overcooked 2, it's like wash up a certain amount of plates, throw a certain amount of foods and all that sort of thing. And that one, I was just like, I can't be asked by the end of the first one. I was like, I'm going to get it.
I think it's funny that a lot of the ones we've talked about are PlayStation exclusives. And I don't know why, because like you said, I did the same thing that you did with The Last of Us. I love that game. I played through it about 5 times. I'm never going to get all the trophies for whatever reason. Yeah, I've only got 14, I think, platinum trophies, and the bulk of them are PlayStation exclusives. And I don't know why. It's not because I set out to do it. I just, maybe you spend more time with them. I don't know. I don't know. It's an open question.
It's coming out to a new month, and I'm starting my new shift on The Last of Us.
Of course you are.
Going through that multiplayer, stressful, trying to get those stupid play for 12 weeks ones. I've done half of it. I'm getting there. But I don't know why The Last of Us has such a bad trophy list. You look at all these, like, you don't really, well, I'm trying to think of one that, Detroit Become Human.
Yeah.
That's one that's kind of understandable that you should play it for a few times. But the last was like, oh, I've got to do New Game Plus, got to make sure I get all the shiv doors, got to make sure I don't, because some of those conversations, you can totally never know where they are unless you go and look at like a list to find out where they come from.
I think the one I was missing was the conversation one, and I missed one conversation, and to this day I still don't know where it is.
Yes.
It's frustrating to know. And I think a lot of those older PlayStation exclusives from around that time, 2010, 2013, were so hard. I used to complete games and have about 10, 13% of the trophy list and think, where have I gone wrong? What am I actually going to have to do?
It's weird. In my brain, it just looks like, even though you've completed the whole game, it just doesn't look like you've done much.
Yeah, it's strange, isn't it?
And I think there's a certain balance that you need to have, well, developers should have between, like, say, playing the game trophies and also, like, going back and, like, picking them off. Because if it's, like, a game like Horizon or God of War or Stranding, where you can go back to it after you finished it, I'm more enticed to do that.
Yeah.
If it's playing for a whole like rigid campaign again, I'm then going
to
be like,
ugh. I hate new game platinums, like where it says you have to play the game, like complete the game and then complete the game on a certain difficulty you can only unlock with New Game Plus. I hate that. That just makes you go, no, I'm not going to play it again. No, I'm not going to do it. Even for joy, like, no, I don't want to. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to make me do it that way. Because when I was looking at Horizons, you have like the three options. One's like DLC, one's a mainline game, and then one was New Game Plus trophies. I was like, no, I'm not ever going to fill that box. Like, thank you for showing it me. Goodbye. I'm not gonna tick it.
You know what? I respect that a lot.
Yeah.
My most shameful one is the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy.
That's because shameful.
This is disgusting. This.
I've got 14 platinum trophies. Three of them are these games because they're suspiciously hard. Like, you think it's gonna be fine. It's just a nice little nostalgia hit. But you remember that Crash Bandicoot 1 is hard as balls. Crash Bandicoot 2 also hard as balls. When you're trying to get the time trials of each one of these things, I was just like a sweaty mess. It was that period between working here and finishing university, so I had so much time on my hands. I was just spending days and days stewarding my own filth just to relive some nostalgia that was not worth it at all.
One of the first things I ever said to you, I think, was, you're playing in them free games, what are you doing there?
I think that's what we bonded over initially, Ben Roy. So that would be my most proud achievement and most shameful one as well.
You were.
The Crash games.
Insane.
Whoa!
Those were a nice nostalgia trip, and they become like a nightmare between.
Well, that's it. Yeah, like you get them thinking you're going to have a lovely Friday through Saturday reliving your childhood, and then you realize, oh God, this is my entire adult life now trying to get this platinum trophy on each game.
Can I just say also, I'm annoyed at Eve's Gone One for changing the trophies in Rainbow Six Siege. I was working tirelessly to kill those stupid terrorists in those stupid, really bad terrorist missions. And then they change it and they make it all easy. The point after I get the trophy is just like, I've just wasted. So the moral of this podcast is trophies are a waste of time. Screw you, Eve's Gone One. I love you, but God.
What a lovely note to segue to our final question of the podcast, because you can go over and use the hashtag WCGP over on Twitter and YouTube to ask us questions, and we'll try to answer it, because we're not on YouTube anymore, but we love the engagement. What are you looking at me like that for, Ash? WCGP.
What Culture Game Podcast?
WCGP.
What did I say?
Did you say it the other way around?
I can't remember.
I need the card.
PG tips.
Just send some letters.
Look, yeah, please post us some mail to ask a question. This one is from Vicky Mack, who says, are there any game crossovers you'd love to see? I imagine they could somehow put Doom on a roller coaster and Rich might explode. He really would, Vicky. He would combust and the roller coaster would have to be shut down. It would be really horrible, but at the same time, he would be happy for a split second.
I think to answer this, I'm going to jump right in before any banter can happen at all and deliver the ultimate banter. Which is Doom and Animal Crossing, which is what we all want to see, because it keeps cropping up at the moment with all the fan art and the release dates are the same. And you know what? Just do it. DLC it together. Do it. Why
all
not?
I'm saying is April comes very soon after those games release. And if you can do it as an April Fool's thing, make a full game, full $60, $50 million game of that crossover. I think everyone would buy it. The big question is, though, Ash, is it Animal Crossing in Doom's combat or Doom Guy in Animal Crossing
It's Animal Crossing in Doom's world. So, like, all of the fluffy, cute animals, like,
I want to see
apart.
Them get glory killed. I want to rip their face open and just...
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my word.
No, they are
kill
the Doom
them all.
Rip and tear.
Benroy.
I was trying to think, maybe like, I like the idea that all the Valve games are kind of connected.
Yeah.
Like the Left 4 Deads and the Portals and stuff. We've also been thinking about the PlayStation exclusives, a way that they could maybe connect them all. Not a PlayStation Battle Royale, because we don't want to talk about that game. But more such like, say, The Last of Us, actually, in the same way it was Uncharted, because we had that little Easter egg in Uncharted 3 or 2.
Yeah, 3.
And then, I don't know, get Horizon Zero Dawn. Like, that's so many years after Death Stranding. You know, let's bring them all together.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Because at the end of Uncharted 4, when it skips ahead in time, and it gets a bit ominous, and I thought they were going to connect it to The Last of Us. And I don't think I would actually want to see that in canon. But if you could do a crossover event where it's out of universe, and you have Nathan Drake meeting Joel and both engaging in the same world, I think I'd dig it a lot, but I don't ever want it to become the actual story. But as a sort of what-if scenario, that's what I'd love.
That beach kind of reminded me of the Crash 1 beach as well at the very end of that game. So, like,
so much in that game is reminiscent of Crash Bandicoot. There's a part where you're running away from the truck, because it's entrenched in my mind, where you're running away from the truck, and it's like when you're running away from the boulder.
Yes.
We should do an entire podcast on that. But for now, I don't know what you guys think. Not in the comments below, but over on Twitter, using the hashtag WCGP. Did I get it right? Yes. Thank you, everyone. Leave us some questions, and we will try to answer them in the next pod. Even if you don't, though, I have been Josh. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Spotify, Acast, iTunes, anywhere you get your pods. This has been Ben Roy.
Bye.
This has been Ash.
Bye.
And we'll see you soon. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.